This is Bob Fitrakis in the studio with Connie Goodell Newton. Connie, what do you got here? Sounds like an interesting case.
Thanks, Bob. I wanted to talk to you today about a case coming out of Scioto County. So this was a case involving an illegal search that was taken too far.
Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
Okay, in the studio here with the original co-host, Connie Goodell Newton.
Hello.
What brings you back to the other side of the news?
Hi, Bob. Thanks.
Well, it seems like we have a very strange state trooper, Nicholas Lewis, who likes to give women cavity searches.
Yes. So I'm here today to talk about the case of Tylee Dorsey. Basically this, what I'm looking at is a suppression motion. So it's a motion to suppress. And
it's suppressing the evidence.
She asked to suppress the evidence in her case because of an illegal search and seizure. So basically, people who have criminal cases can ask the court to suppress the evidence from an illegal search or seizure. And so she's basically alleging in her motion that her rights were violated, her constitutional Fourth Amendment rights were violated by an illegal search. And so in this brief that I read, the trooper is Nick Lewis, and he pulled up beside her to see who the driver was, and pulled her over. Basically, he said that it was because it was a rental car, and he eventually ordered her out of the car without running her ID, looking for warrants. He said that he noticed the top button of her pants was undone, and so that was why he asked her to step out of the car. And then he proceeded to search her in a very invasive manner that basically women have the right to have a female officer search them if they're going to be doing a pat down. So this officer performed a Terry search or pat down on her, except that a Terry search requires that the officer is in some kind of fear and is searching for weapons. So it wasn't really a Terry search, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know. This seems more like a officer booty call here. I think he's being driven by things other than safety. I think looks like he's harassing women. And hasn't there been reports he's teaching this to other male state troopers?
Yes. At the suppression hearing, the trooper testified that that he is part of a drug interdiction unit, that he frequently cavity searches women that they're trafficking drugs. So basically he has a routine practice, and he even trains other officers in this tactic that really violates the physical integrity of women to be treated this way. And there were a lot of issues with this case.
And again, there's the broader issues. Number one, if she's really trafficking drugs, she's not doing it in her vagina. It's ridiculous that you'd think of her being some sort of drug mule. If there was drugs, they'd be somewhere on the car. If she had something for personal use, if this was Portugal or other countries, is that you'd realize that she had a drug problem and you wouldn't arrest her for so-called any amount. This is a pretext. This has nothing to do.
Absolutely. It was absolutely a pretextual search. And he said that he pulled her over because it was a rental car. Well, that is not probable cause to pull somebody over. That's not even a reasonable suspicion to pull somebody over. I'm a woman, and I travel for business, and sometimes I have to get a rental car when I'm leaving the airport, and I certainly don't want to be subjected to this, you know, this kind of treatment anytime I have to travel for work. It is this decision. I'd like to go on and just explain a little bit of the procedural history of this case. So, and to people who, you know, are interested in criminal defense, basically you can, the folks in this case filed a motion to suppress evidence, and they actually won that motion. It was a visiting judge who decided that case and agreed that, that she shouldn't have been ordered out of the car, and that the Terry search, you know, wasn't a legal pat down. So they suppressed the evidence. Then it was appealed.
Yeah, and the judge was Leonard Holtzapfel, and the attorney is a very well-known local attorney, Jeff Moore, who you've worked with in the past. And also, the evidence suggests this occurred in Lucasville, which is also the home to one of our more repressive prison institutions. I think you alluded that the defendant, Ty Lee, is black. Is that correct?
The facts in the case do indicate that she was a black woman, that she looked fairly young, and she was described as wearing tight pants, which the last time I checked is not illegal or really probable cause for anything. A lot of times if a police officer was worried about weapons, they might actually look for baggy pants. But if you're wearing tight pants, there's really nowhere to, like, hide a gun, you know, like, it's, it was unreasonable for this officer to order her out of the car and search her for weapons especially in such an intimate manner. And he said that he was not at all afraid for his safety. He's part of a drug interdiction unit that uses pretextual searches to basically search the public for drugs. And this tactic is being taught to other officers.
Sure. I mean, it looks like he racially profiled her. Her also because she had rented a car and then used that to essentially sexually assault her. That none of this makes sense because he doesn't get her a registration, he doesn't get her license, he doesn't reports on her, investigator to see if there's warrants for. Essentially, it just looks like he's interested in sexually abusing her.
Yes, and when there is a search, generally speaking, a police officer has to get a warrant for a search, but there are certain exceptions to the warrant requirement. One of those is consent, and so the prosecution in this case tried to say that she consented to the search, and so it was, justified that the evidence was seized legally. However, when the officer said that she consented verbally, when they replayed the video, it showed that she did not consent verbally, and that she even said, "Hey, you have to get a female officer. You can't search me this way." So she protested and said, "Please, stop touching me. You're not allowed to touch me this way." And he said that he was allowed to search her, so she had no right to refuse, that then he changed it to saying that that she, basically submitted with her body language, which is not actually consent, so.
Yeah, and also he said that he removed her from the vehicle, and again, he's stopping her, the key point. He's stopping her because of a traffic violation. And now that ends up with him removing her from the vehicle and doing a cavity search of her. And he said the main reason that he removed her from the vehicle is because the top button on her pants was unbuttoned.
Right. And, you know, the last time I checked, that was not indication of criminal activity. I've never heard any officer testify that that buttons undone or something is in an indication that justifies a search, that otherwise there would be really no justification for that, because a speeding ticket is a non-arrestable offense. He should have given her a ticket. He could certainly ask her questions, you know, see if she admitted to anything, but she didn't admit to anything. She denied having anything, and she maintained her innocence throughout the whole interaction, saying, "I don't have anything." He searched her inner thighs and around her genital region repeatedly. So, you know, she kept insisting and maintaining that she did not have anything and that she did not consent to the search. And so it was very clear that, you know, they're trying to portray this as if she consented to that search, when it was very clear, based on the video and the testimony given, that she did not consent.
Not consent, and he removed her from the vehicle, which you're allowed to do, again, as you've pointed out, if his safety's at risk. And there's a very famous case there, Pennsylvania versus Mims. But in that case, you can see how it's not applicable, how we can distinguish it. In that case, there was a large bulge that the guy had on him
right.
that looked like a gun.
Right. Right. So, you know, a police officer is allowed to use reasonable clues that there might be a gun or a threat for their safety. But in this case, the woman was not threatening. She did not admit to having a weapon or make any statement to indicate that she had anything. There was no bulge in her clothing. There was no odor of anything. You know, nothing to really indicate criminal activity. She was driving a rental car. So give her a speeding ticket and send her along her way. The officer unlawfully expanded the scope of this search.
Absolutely.
Very unlawfully,
and
in my opinion.
The words of Judge Holtzapfel. Quote, if Trooper Lewis had legitimate concerns for his safety, he would have been justified in ordering the defendant from the truck. But Trooper Lewis did not have these concerns. Trooper
right.
Lewis presented no reason for defendant's removal from the vehicle and pat down other than the top button of her pants was unbuttoned, and that this may indicate a defendant was transporting drugs. So there's no probable cause. There's nothing that's indicating his safety is in jeopardy. He hasn't run a warrant on her. He hasn't checked her registration or her driver's license. He's, you know, just going on a hunch, or what I suspect is he likes to dominate women and
yes.
Do illegal searches.
Yeah, so it's very well established that a police officer is not allowed to just pull somebody over on a hunch. They have to have an articulable suspicion that they are up to criminal activity. And they're not allowed to just pull you over because you look suspicious. So that's something that I think is really important for the public to know, is that, you know, the police officers do have to follow a certain set of rules. They are allowed to talk to you consensually, but you don't have to talk to them. You're not obligated to tell them more than your name and address.
So it's got to be more than a hunch. It's probable cause.
Yeah.
Meaning more likely than not, what you're saying is going to be true. But again, the fact that he does a search that is concerned with safety when he's really just dealing with a traffic violation. She was driving 65 and a 55, and she was crossing the center line. And you're listening to WGRN. .org on the Free Press Network. I'm Bob Fitrakis, and I'm in the studio with Connie Goodell Newton.
Yeah, so Bob and I have, we go way back, and I used to co-host The Other Side of the News. It's a lot of fun, and so it's a lot of fun to be back. So thanks for having me back on your show.
And it looks like the Court of Appeals actually sent the case back. Which is not, from my perspective, positive.
No, it it doesn't really appear to be a good thing. It seemed like they were kind of picking on a technicality and sending it back, remanding it to the lower court to re-decide. So it was reversed and remanded. The role of the trial court is to judge the character of the people who are testifying and the credibility of those witnesses. And unfortunately, in this case, the original judge who, in my opinion, made the correct decision by granting the motion to suppress, that judge has since retired. And so when they remand it back, it's not going to go to that same judge. That judge is retired. So there's going to be another judge who wasn't there when the police officer testified, wasn't there when the defense attorney made his opening and closing arguments. I think it's really important. It seems really important that the original judge get the case back, but in this case, they wouldn't be able to do that.
All right, and the hearing before the judge took 2 days, so a lot of evidence came out. For example, the fact that he approached the vehicle, the truck she was in, which he thought was a rental, and he only spent a minute and 20 seconds before he asked her to exit the vehicle. So I'm trying to figure out how exactly he saw that button unbuttoned. You got to be looking for that. And under what court case or law is a button being unbuttoned on your pants probable cause?
Absolutely. This case is just has so many issues with it.
She didn't reach and unbutton, or he doesn't say she grabbed something and he saw her stuffing it down her pants.
Absolutely. Yeah, he, doesn't really say that she acted suspiciously. It was just, I don't know. So, also, I think what's really disturbing, too, is that he says that he does this on female drivers all the time. It looks like he did testify that he teaches these methods to other troopers and uses these methods on female drivers all the time. So the defense attorney points out in his brief to the court that does not make his methods of touching the genital areas of female speeders with his hands legal under the guise of a Terry pat down or consent search. So he really questions. He does a good job questioning consent in his argument.
Well, it's real clear from what the judge wrote and what her attorney wrote, Jeff Moore, that there was no consent. He finds a small piece of something he thought was crack. That turns out not to be the case. But later on, he claims she had something in her hand. So, again, this whole question of this technique, are we going to allow the state troopers in Ohio to remove people from the vehicle without probable cause because, their blouse or pants are unbuttoned? Is that now probable cause? For years, they used to always say that people smelled like pot, or they act nervous when they had a flat tire, and the state troopers used to offer to change your tire, and then if you said no or acted nervous, they would get a warrant. So I don't know what judge would give this guy a warrant for a body cavity search, but that is apparently what happened.
Yes, it does look like that. Eventually, they did take her to a hospital. They x-rayed her and, I believe, searched her. One of the issues in this case is that they're really putting the horse before the cart. No, the cart before the horse by saying, look, we found something here. So that justifies the search. And you can't justify the search with what you later find. You have to justify the search with previously, you know, behavior or evidence that is, you know, amounts to a reasonable suspicion or probable cause to search somebody. They're not allowed to search you anytime they want. They have to meet certain requirements in order to do that. So consent is one, that wasn't here. Probable cause is one, that wasn't here. Really, there was no reason for this search. And it's very disturbing, you know, in this, you know, era of Me Too, when we're finding out how men have leveraged their social power and privilege to coerce women into having sex with them. You know, this is really problematic. This is directly the state coming down and saying, you know, you have to submit to physical touching from a male officer. And I just think that that's something that any woman would not, you know, want to see, that, like, if I'm driving a rental car, that a police officer can search me so intimately. I don't think that we want that to be the law. That's not a good public policy. And, you know, I think that this really needs to be addressed by the courts.
Now, if I would allow this if I was a judge, if they found somebody in a late model, you know, Lexus or a Mercedes, and they worked for the pharmaceutical companies, like it was a CEO. See, I would think the probability of them carrying opioids or being involved in drug trafficking would be much, much higher because they worked for a pharmaceutical company than to go after somebody randomly on the road. So again, I mean, this whole notion of you can only arrest people like this in, you know, most of the United States. Again, if we were in most of Europe, so if they found what they claim to be a small piece of crack, that would be personal use. You'd refer them, if you were the police, you'd refer them to drug counseling.
Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't arrest them.
Yeah, also, just based on the filings that I've looked over, the crack that was allegedly found was not laboratory tested. So, you know, there are even issues with, you know, having an opportunity to possibly plant evidence on this person because they didn't find it for such a long time. He searched the car multiple times before he ever found a crumb of what he thought was crack.
And in many cases with police, they got to go back to their crack kit and get the small piece of crack.
They have to have time to do that.
Like
so he found
like
the crack. He found the crack 20 minutes later. You know, he didn't call a drug dog out. Why didn't they get the canine unit? You know, he could have.
Right,
he could have brought.
Not be good for hemp and pot anymore, but they still should be good for crack.
Yeah, I mean, would you rather have a dog sniff around your car or have this guy search your crotch?
No. I mean, that's
it's horrible.
That's a good question.
Like, bring out
you
the dog.
Have done it.
Yeah,
the law should require. the least invasive means are the ones that are being used, right? So you get a drug sniffing dog, right? The you know, it makes more sense than allowing the the trooper to essentially sexually assault the woman.
Yeah.
And who knows? Maybe the dog would like the trooper. I could have a moment on his leg.
Maybe. I mean, it could be good for officers to have animal units on their team.
Yeah, the dog would have told him right away. The dog would have went back to the car and indicated, smells like the crack might be in the highway patrol car.
All right. So, this is an egregious case, and I think that, you know, this was really outrageous. I think that most women, and men, of course, too, and, you know, I've had male clients who have also complained of this, you know, basically being touched by police officers when they're being searched. And I would just say that however terrible that must be, you know, imagine being a woman who's pulled over for driving a rental car and being ordered out of your car and you know, being searched in this way, being subjected to body scans, x-rays, being in, you know, jail. She was cavity searched at the hospital. This took place over a period of 5 hours. And, you know, this police procedure was so intrusive to her privacy and freedom, you know, that the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution is supposed to protect the American citizens and, you know, everybody present here from unreasonable searches. And I would say if I ever heard of an unreasonable search, it's having a male officer search a female woman, you know, on the side of the road. Anything that they found afterwards doesn't justify what happened to her before he had any legal reason to actually perform this search.
And the problem, of course, that develops is these techniques are passed on. For a period of time, the FBI, other law enforcement, was teaching police that when people went to protest the Klan, they would essentially twist guys' testicles, squeeze them, harass people, and also sort of do searches of women similar, you know.
Humiliation is a big part of it.
So you wouldn't go into the pit, this metal pit, that you knew if you went in there, you're going to be sexually assaulted.
Yeah. I think, you know, I think sometimes power corrupts, and this is definitely seems to be an example. You know, here you have a white officer searching a black woman, and I think that, you know, we have to uphold and protect our essential civil liberties in our society. You know, we can't ignore police intimidation. That's what our Constitution is protecting us from, is this kind of government intrusion into the most intimate aspects of our lives.
Well, again, they've sworn an oath to uphold the Constitution. Theoretically, the police are the foot soldiers of the Constitution. They've sworn an oath to uphold and defend it against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Right.
But they, in many cases, appear not to know what's in the Constitution, and they appear to be the ones waging a war against our rights.
Yes, and as attorneys, we're also sworn to uphold the Constitution and to fight for our clients' rights. And so that's what we do as defense attorneys. We stand up for clients' rights.
And that's what we do on the other side of the news.
Right.
Thanks, Connie Goodell-Newton, for being in the studio.
Thank you.
Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.